Gun Grab Act.
Come on, Caligson. That tent is up and the show is about to begin.
Yeah, Dad. I heard Ringling Brothers, Brown and Bailey were closing up forever.
Yep. The end of an American tradition. I surely didn't expect it to disappear in my generation.
Dad, it was something I read about. The elephants. Them people who like political correctness said the circus wasn't treating them right. They was afraid them elephants might turn up extinct one of these days. They even changed the Barnum and Bailey picture on the box of animal crackers for kids. It sounds a lot like them Common Core exercises I have to do in public school.
That one of your Common Core teachers made you do really gives me the heaves, boy.
Yeah, Dad. The one where we could earn the Gordon Global Citizen Star and put it forever in our web cloud.
The one in which you had to select a person to let drown, cast up a boat. That person would be extinct before long. It's kind of like a political parable, too, son, with this circus making its last stand tonight.
Yeah, Dad, maybe we'll see the elephants one last time.
With an aside in this theatrical production, this is Fatherland Security, a.k.a. Antifa Dawn. We're busy trying at headquarters to make all the elephants disappear. There was Steve Scalise's shooting, Rand Paul's arms broken, Ted Cruz's office with the ricin scare, and the shooting into the Florida political headquarters recently. Oh, much more is coming soon, unless more dreaded whistleblowers like Project Veritas release more videos. Deep state doesn't need leading Democratic figures revealing that if they win, they're coming for the guns.
I didn't tell you this, son, but tonight is a special performance. It isn't the Barnum and Bailey group, though it isn't a Trump stump. You might call this Coon Hunt, a political parable. News and truth, Generation Z needs.
Why didn't Mom come with us? She usually the one that reveals stuff. This is to my young, suspecting, unsuspecting ears.
Yes, son, you've hitched the right pony to the cart. She was asked by InfoWars to introduce the big show tonight.
Gee, Dad, those Common Core guys won't like this. They're winning out, dumbing down everyone in my high school.
Son, you don't need to tell me. I read that SAT scores are the lowest they've ever been in... Shh, the curtain's rising.
Good evening, y'all. This is Sally Lou Pockets. I've been asked to introduce the big show tonight and be a freelance commentator. If there are any anti-American enthusiasts in the audience, y'all might as well get out of your seat now and hunker right down the aisle, shamefaced, because I'm part of Hillary's worst nightmare. In her book, What Happened, she says, I hope that my fears for our future were overblown. They were not. She hoped the American sheeple would quit bleating and just keep getting sheared by the Obama State Department leftovers and the rotten fish smell Robert Mueller, Russian emperor with no clothes on story. But you and I are here. We've still got God and we've still got our guns. But that ain't the deep state plan. Their plan. But now it's time for me to bring on the two key MCs of this show tonight, Lou Caverly and Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
Good evening, you friends who hear us on Liberty Works Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and on WWCR Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. 4.840 megahertz.
Also, WWCR on 7.490 megahertz, Saturdays at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. This will be the very last big circus show for our republic, featuring the elephants and their love of sovereign liberty, unless Jesus Christ intervenes, hearing the forceful prayers and repentance of all of you. None of us want the Big Tent Republic to close its doors forever. Nothing. Things like the shocking Khashoggi affair and the disappearance of the Chinese actress Fan Bingbing would become commonplace in an Antifa Marxist America. The Big Tent Republic to close its doors forever. Nothing would ever be the same. We need your deepest prayers and strong will to vote. Already, freedom of speech is attacked here. First, InfoWars, initial gestures toward a mainstream Christian site. But let's move on to see the circus. Yes, the men and women on the flying trapeze are astounding, aren't they? And the lions are over there performing with the assistant ringmaster. I see my colleague Elizabeth over, still farther in a dark corner, almost unlit by the curtains.
Thanks, Lou. I'm here with two groups. In the brighter light are a few of the elephants, almost as if Time magazine knew ahead of time. Of course, that's not possible, about the ghastly October surprises of the non-functioning pipe bombs allegedly sent through the post office by Caesar Sayoc and the tragically successful slaughter in the Squirrel Hill Pittsburgh synagogue. Time, November 5th, had a major report, Guns in America, giving pros and cons. Congressman Steve Scalise was one of many persons giving their views. Time's description, the lawmaker. Republican legislators were practicing for a bipartisan charity baseball game on June 14, 2017, when a gunman opened fire. Representative Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip from Louisiana, was critically injured by a bullet in the hip. He survived after multiple surgeries. Three others were wounded before police, including officers from Scalise's security detail, shot and killed the assailant. Now Scalise's words in Time. A strong Second Amendment is critical to keeping our communities safe. I experienced firsthand just how important it is that there are people with guns that can counter bad people that are out there. Right after the shooting, there were people that just expected that somehow my views on guns would change. It's easy for people to get reactionary. I think we all know the honest answer to that is there's no single magic solution to this. That horrible incident only solidified my strong belief that you want law-abiding citizens to be able to defend themselves and others because there are bad guys out there. And if only the bad guys have weapons, then that means everybody else is vulnerable. I've experienced both sides of this debate. But ultimately, it was people with guns that were able to counter the shooter and save the rest of us. And now, Lou, I believe that you've moved farther into the shadows to see the opposing group meeting with the new ringmaster.
Yes, Elizabeth, things are pretty deep state murky back here. Rumors are that Alexander Soros will soon be head ringmaster of the dark, instead of his father, George. Though 60 Minutes long ago interviewed George, who admitted to his aiding Nazis in rounding up his fellow Jewish people, now the lying MSM is portraying him as a Holocaust survivor. Oh, William, black is white, biblical evil is good. There's a lot of commotion back here, pushing, shoving, cursing. All the anarchy one would expect from Marxist anti-sovereignty people. There are so many different kinds of duplicitous closets, each one is hiding in, that it boggles the mind of any normal American loving citizen to understand it. When you get down to it, I think the main goal is what it has been for a long time now. That is, to grab the guns, take away our Second Amendment rights. Do you recall, Elizabeth, even during the George W. Bush years, It may have been. It may have been right after 9/11, or right after Katrina's 2005 devastation, at which time some police knocked on New Orleans' upscale neighborhood doors for guns. At any rate, Bush's friendly and revealing comment when asked about gun confiscation was a simple statement, quote, "It isn't the right time," unquote. This seemed to indicate a glimpse into long-range NWO, or deep state planning, and that Bush, reader of the GOAT story during 9/11, was a player, in quotes. False flags are as old as history. Only the technology of our time makes them more stunning. Blitzkrieg, 9/11 inside job, not New York firemen reporting on bombs going off in the buildings, just an echo of the 1995 Murrah building. Shock. More shootings in the Obama years, Virginia Tech, Fort Hood, San Bernardino. Everything is escalating. Are we getting closer to Bush's theoretical right time? Was Nicholas Cruz the only shooter in the tragic slaughter of the 14 students and three teachers at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida? Houston TV stations, KPRC and KOHU, visiting Florida for sports events, reported multiple shooters. Matt Bazell's KOHU report disappeared the way the early 9/11 fireman's bomb reports did. Added to the cover-up, we'd had the Broward County Deputy Sheriff stand down from the scene. And now Elizabeth and I are moving into our broadcasting booth before another broken bottle hits us, or hits us in the head or in the eye.
Not to mention the defecation scenario. Yes, Lou, we're back inside the booth as we continue to comment on the strong indications we've had by a lot of false flags, fake false flags, in the late 20th century and the early 21st. Let's just view, again, a few facts from the Parkland case, because they're timely once more in the newest pipe bomb scenario. First, we had this astounding story that was in an editorial viewpoint Monday, February 26, 2018. FBI failed a basic job on Florida shooter. The horrific news broadened 2 days after Nicholas Cruz, armed with an AR-15, entered Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland and slaughtered 14 students and three teachers and injured several more. In a stunning admission, the FBI announced Friday that a person close to Cruz contacted the department on January 5th to report concerns about Cruz's disturbing behavior. That's 6 weeks ago. The person had done what we ask citizens to do. If you see something, say something. Yet the Bureau did absolutely nothing with the information. Not a thing. It was an unforgivable lapse, and it became a deadly one. We have spoken with victims and families and deeply regret the additional pain this causes all those affected by this horrific tragedy, FBI Director Christopher Wray said in a statement. By admitting its error before it was discovered by outsiders, the FBI came clean and said it did not appropriately follow established protocols with the tip to its public line. Even more damning, agents didn't bother to pass on the information to the Miami field office, so no further action was taken until after Cruz opened fire and his name popped up again in the FBI's files. There's no way to credibly say, oh, we'll do better next time. The FBI also was warned in September about a school shooting threat from a YouTube user with Cruz's name, according to a Mississippi video blogger. Ben Benight said he reported the post to the FBI. It said, "I'm going to be a professional school shooter," and it came from a user named Nicholas Cruz. Benight said FBI agents talked to him, but the agency said it could not track down the owner of the social media handle. Yet Cruz flaunted his social media persona. He definitely didn't hide it. It's an infuriating act of negligence by a government agency charged with protecting Americans, and it came at such a painful human cost. The parents and loved ones of those killed must now cope with knowing that maybe it could have all ended before the bloodshed, without families being torn apart. Just maybe. If the Bureau had dug a little further, it would have found that local law enforcement responded to Cruz's former family home on 39 occasions over a seven-year period. This before Cruz went to live with the parents of one of his few high school friends. Broward Sheriff Scott Israel said it wasn't immediately clear why the officers had been called to the house. Israel also defended the FBI. Make no mistake about it, America, Israel said at a news conference, the only person responsible is the shooter himself. I have to interject in the background of this program about the false flags. Isn't this very interesting? A very defensive remark by Israel. The only person responsible is the shooter himself. We're going to see that there were reports, as we heard before, of multiple shooters and those Houston visiting TV stations for probably telling us what we would never hear later. This editorial says that's true, and in a country where such threats and risks and perils seem endless, there's no telling how often the FBI has gotten it right. We have no doubt that agents' hard work has thwarted domestic attacks, bombings, shootings, and other mayhem planned by the sick and angry among us. The regretful words, if only, haunt this tragedy. If only Cruz had received proper mental health treatment. If only the teenager couldn't legally buy semi-automatic weapons. Now we are left with one more. If only the FBI had done its job. There was another article from the AP, and this gave a little more background that substantiates what we have brought out to you about KOHU and those reports. Tallahassee, Florida, the armed officer on duty at the Florida school where a shooter killed 17 people never went inside to engage the gunman and has been placed under investigation, officials announced Thursday. The school resource officer at the high school took up a position viewing the western entrance of the building that was under attack for more than 4 minutes, but, quote, he never went in, Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel said at a Thursday news conference. The shooting lasted about 6 minutes. The officer, Scott Peterson, was suspended without pay and placed under investigation, then chose to resign, Israel said. There's a lot more. And I believe that we're going to now move on to talk a little bit more about something unusual. The Radical Islam Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhood connections. Are we heading toward an Arab Spring here? Does George Soros' money help to plan this? Are there connections we're going to be bringing out a little later with the Islamic Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania? We have to know that this conspiracy is a plan. It is a conspiracy. That's a genuine word. People conspire to bring down countries. And now, Lou, let's continue this.
Elizabeth, yes, before we get to the alleged pipe bombers, Broward County connections, we need to once again reflect carefully on the WorldNet Daily article from February 26, 2018, posted by Art Moore. In our current time, it seems these false flag questions are often linked to George Soros' money and or radical Islam. Broward deputy works for Muslim Mafia. A leader of the Council on American Islamic Relations in South Florida also serves as a deputy for the Broward County Sheriff's Office, which is under fire for its handling of the Valentine's Day school shooting in which 17 people were killed. Nazar Hamzi is the Regional Operations Director for the Florida Chapter of CAIR, C-A-I-R, whose national office was named an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas funding scheme and was designated a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates. How then, asked anti-Sharia activist Joe Kaufman in a 2015 column in Front Page magazine, quote, is it possible that one of CAIR's leaders, Nazar Hamzi, could be considered for a position at one of the most prominent sheriff's offices in the United States, unquote.
Hamsey was caught on video outside a fundraiser in 2010 for then-British MP George Galloway, repeatedly refusing to denounce Hamas. CARE's parent organization was founded in 1993 in the United States by operatives of Hamas, the Palestinian branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. In June 2007, Hamsey covered for his cousin, Abdulaziz Bilal Hamsey, after the relative murdered a woman, running her over with a minivan and dragging her body for several miles down the road, scattering her body parts. The cousin then attempted to flee the U.S. to the family's native Lebanon. Nazar Hamsey was quoted by media saying that while his cousin, quote, made some bad decisions, unquote, he, quote, may have been a little threatened, unquote. In a column last November for the Gainesville Sun, Hamsey dismissed the threat of Islamic terrorism. He said the shootings in recent years in Las Vegas, Orlando, Blacksburg, Virginia, San Bernardino, California, and many other places, quote, are horrific and deadly examples of mass killings that were committed by criminals that come from various ethnicities and backgrounds, unquote. The overemphasis on Muslim threats and the vilifying of Islam has made us less safe and has misdirected our much-needed safety resources to play a political chess game, Hamsey wrote. Kaufman noted that through Hamsey's leadership, Broward Sheriff Scott Israel, who is facing an investigation into his handling of the Parkland school shooting, visited several area mosques and Islamic leaders with radical ties. In January 2015, Israel posed for photos with Sofian Abdulaziz Zakut, a supporter of Hamas. Zakut, just 6 months earlier, organized a pro-Hamas rally, co-sponsored by CARE Florida in downtown Miami, in which participants shouted, "We are Hamas," and "Let's go Hamas." Following the rally, Zakut wrote, quote, "Thank God every day we conquer the American Jews like our conquest over the Jews of Israel," unquote. During Ramadan that year, Hamsey joined Sheriff Israel at the Darul Uloom Mosque in Pembroke Pines. At the gathering of Muslims there, Hamsey praised Sheriff Israel as a champion for the Muslim community, noting he helped Muslim business owners who had been targeted in a financial scheme. In December 2015, Hamsey went to Tampa to perform, quote, active shooter training, unquote, at the Dar es Salaam Mosque, which is associated with three U.S.-based Muslim groups on the United Arab Emirates terror list. With a gun in each hand, Hamsey simulated firing at his audience during the training. The mosque said the need for the training was motivated by fear of a, quote-unquote, backlash against Muslims following the San Bernardino attack that month. Claire Lopez, a strategic policy and intelligence expert with the Center for Security Policy and a former CIA operations officer, commented in a recent tweet, quote, "Maybe if Broward Deputy Sheriff Hamsey had trained his own officers better, instead of the Muslim Brotherhood, more Florida kids would be alive today." Coffin pointed out that Darul Uloom Mosque in Pembroke Pines has ties to a number of high-profile Al-Qaeda terrorists. Among them are dirty bomber Jose Padilla, who was sentenced to 21 years in prison for providing material support to terrorists, and for conspiracy to murder, kidnap, and maim individuals overseas. The late Al-Qaeda Global Operations Chief, Adnan al-Shukrijumar, was a prayer leader at the mosque. Shukrijumar was indicted in 2010 for plotting suicide bombings in New York City's subway system. His father, who taught classes at Darul Uloom, was a translator for the spiritual leader of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, the blind Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman.
Getting to the two October surprises, we think the NWO fulfilled its occult obligation to always warn people what's coming, just as the Lone Gunman was a precursor. That was a movie, I believe, that had a scenario that was very similar to the towers under attack. This preceded 9/11. The words October Surprise were broadcast on the shortwave right before our program. This was not part of our broadcast. When the pipe bomb attempt turned out to be a dud, the New York Police Commissioner reported there was no powder in these bombs. FBI spokesman, there was one of them on TV, I believe, who hyped it as a, quote, grave danger with quite potentially energetic material. Excuse me, that was, quote, potentially energetic material. Before we smirk and laugh, we know that there is great power in evil when good men do nothing. So are you going to vote? Do you want Sharia law? Do you want the re-education camps for Christians to become a reality? This is one of the last times that God is giving you the chance to go out and vote and do what a good, righteous Christian man or woman should do. And if you appreciate this program, we ask for your prayers for our provision and our protection, and we do ask humbly if some of you can help us again to stay on the air, a little cash, a money order, but no checks written to us directly, only to WWCR. You can get in touch with us at Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V as in Victory, E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland. The zip is 21609. Again, the P.O. Box is 28. The zip code is 21609. A Broward County Sheriff's Office photo of Caesar Sayoc reveals a strange stare, down-mouthed individual. Is this the portrait of a patsy? Just as with Nikki Cruz, the Parkland situation. You see, it looks as though Sayoc was ignored by Sheriff Israel's office and the FBI through a long dossier of offenses going over a number of years, including the 03 bomb threat, the 04 illegal ID, many traffic and drug arrests. The AP, October 27th, 2018, reported this. Bomb suspect described as loner with long arrest record. Washington AP. Caesar Sayoc is an amateur bodybuilder and former male stripper, a loner with a long arrest record who showed little interest in politics until Donald Trump came along. On Friday, he was identified by authorities as the Florida man who put pipe bombs in small manila envelopes, affixed 6 stamps, and sent them to some of Trump's most prominent critics. Records show that Sayoc, 56, of Aventura, has a history of financial problems and extensive record of past arrests, including a stint served on probation for making a bomb threat. Now, Lou, do you see red lights flashing?
You know, I tell you something, Elizabeth, if somebody calls in bomb threats, I think that's pretty serious. And indicative that maybe it's not merely a threat.
But where was the FBI? Where was Broward's office? Why, they were down at the mosque, I guess. Going back to the AP, actually, I guess he was on probation for making this bomb threat, but it must have been a long, happy probation, I'm interjecting. The article says he was born in New York City and attended college in North Carolina before moving to the Miami suburbs in the late 1980s. Florida voter records show he first registered in March 2016 as a Republican and cast a ballot in that November's heated presidential election. Sayoc's social media accounts are peppered with memes supporting Trump, denigrating Democrats, and promoting conspiracy theories about George Soros, the billionaire political donor who was the first targeted this week by a package bomb. Now, we have to interject again. This is MSM at work, and they're talking about promoting conspiracy theories about George Soros when it is openly revealed that he supports the destabilization of countries in Europe. His organizations are there funding Antifa. I mean, this is more than a conspiracy back there in that circus tent with what we describe going on. It will be coming to your neighborhood soon. If you don't stand up and if you don't go to vote, it's very imperative that you do something and that you pray about what you do. Sayoc has also tweeted and posted on Facebook videos that appear to show him at Trump rallies. Now, that gives you another little background of these ties you see with Sheriff Israel's Broward County office. What is really going on? Is this a massive stand down everywhere in our country to let these false flag events go on? You know, it was very sickening to realize that the Parkland shooting was on Valentine's Day. The evil, satanic, Luciferian group that runs the New World Order, I'm sure they were pleased to be able to slaughter young people on Valentine's Day, a day in which we honor the people that we care about, whom we care about. A lot of these dates of things have meanings. A lot of things happened around the time of April 19th. And, Lou, what was that in history back in the Revolutionary War?
That was where it all began, the Battle of Lexington and Concord in my native state of Massachusetts, not so very far from where I grew up, in fact. And it was there that the Minutemen decided they weren't going to take these taxes any longer, and they weren't going to have the British seize their guns.
So, of course, this is a great symbol of what our republic means. But all along, the misinformation has been fed. You heard the little parable. I prayed whether we should have the pockets come on or not. And God eventually showed me that it wasn't about humor, not even bitter humor or despair. It was about a parable. Jesus taught through parables. And we heard Kalig talking to his father, Pastor Pat Pockets, about what Common Core had done and the kind of atheistic, nihilistic, murderous intent you see back of all this to rob our children of their souls, and the all the preoccupation with the cell phones and all of the rest. There is this downside. They're becoming addicted. They're going to be marching like zombies to the New World Order dictum as the Mark of the Beast progresses. So please try to unhook your family somewhat. That's an aside. But now we're back in this dark corner in the tent. And Lou, I think you have something more to tell about that.
Back in that dark corner of conspiracy at the circus, Lou Dobbs tried to shine a spotlight by interviewing the head of Judicial Watch, who presented proof of billionaire George Soros bankrolling the migrant expedition toward the U.S. Fox has now banned a Judicial Watch spokesman from Fox News and removed the segment. October 30th, at the Understanding the Threat InfoWars interview, posed the question of possible strong involvement in the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. If so, this correlates with Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel's Islamic ties.
And we also know that Daryl Everhart, Captain Daryl Everhart, who used to be in intelligence and has done extensive study of the Jesuit connection throughout history, taking down countries, fomenting unrest, so forth, revolution, so forth and so on, reported that under the alleged permission of Governor Wolf in Pennsylvania, busloads of Islamic immigrants, we don't know whether they were legal or illegal, what they were, but they were being brought in and they were being sent to Roman Catholic colleges. Some of them were at Loretta, Pennsylvania. We know about that. And we also have a corroboration of that from William Still, who is an expert writer on the New World Order. We had seen a video a few years ago from him in which he alleged that airplanes were coming at night after dark and dropping radical Islamic people there in Pennsylvania. So you see, nothing is as it seems exactly. And you have to recall that Alex Jones had a lawsuit from Georgetown University, and that is the Jesuit University, and he referred to it as the left arm of the CIA and the Vatican. So we have to be looking for these sources. It looks as though Islam may be joined up with this left arm of the CIA and the Vatican. And if they're involved in this supposed wanting to overthrow us, we are sure that there are good Roman Catholics who don't go along with this. We had another article we had seen some time back from Gary Caw, in which he alleged that Pope Francis had some Knights of Malta rebelling on his hands. I would assume those men are Americans. We think there are a lot of good local people here in the Knights of Columbus. We see their pictures. We taught at a Roman Catholic school in ending there, I guess, in 1988. So it goes back a while. But we know that the American Roman Catholics, they don't want to end sovereignty. They don't want this Jesuit Pope in there ruining their freedoms here in America. So we're going to have to watch how this all plays out. But we have to ask. Someone asked, posing the question on InfoWars, was there a connection with the Muslim Brotherhood in Pittsburgh, you see, with this going on? And now let's get right to the article. Pittsburgh mourns with Jewish community, says hatred will never win out. And this was Tom Howell Jr., The Washington Times, Sunday, October 28, 2018. The gunman who opened fire on a Pittsburgh synagogue Saturday killed a 97-year-old woman and 10 others while shouting about genocide and his desire to kill Jewish people, authorities reported Sunday, as city officials vowed to triumph over anyone who divides their denizens based on how they pray. Each of victims was middle-aged or older. They included a pair of brothers in their 50s and a husband and wife in their 80s who were married at the same synagogue, the Tree of Life, more than 60 years ago. While in custody, gunman Robert G. Bowers told a SWAT team chief that he wanted, quote, all Jews to die, and claimed that Jewish people were, quote, committing genocide to his people, according to an arrest affidavit. Now, I have to interject here, Elizabeth Cupid-Caverly, that this statement was referred to by the author of Understanding the Threat on InfoWars as suggesting that when Bowers said genocide to his people, this would have to mean Palestinians. So did Bowers, you see, have a connection with Hamas? Were there connections like with the Broward County Sheriff and his office? We really have to ask this. The Muslim Brotherhood in Pittsburgh said they were raising money to donate money to the Jewish synagogue. Now, I'm not sure whether that happened prior to this massacre, whether they had been doing this before to look good, you see, to look kindly. We remember Carol Matriciana's wonderful DVD, Islam Rising, and Dawa, D-A-W-A or D-A-W-H-A, was, I may not have that quite right yet, but anyway, the meaning of that was deception, that they come in here, the radical Islam people, and they pretend they're assimilating, but they're not. They're going to stab us in the back or cut off our heads when the time comes. Now, interestingly, when we look for these traitors, that's all we can call them, traitors who do not love the Republic, Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto responded by hailing the vibrancy of the Squirrel Hill neighborhood where the attack unfolded, saying it is the most diverse part of western Pennsylvania. The Jewish community is the backbone. It is part of the fabric of Pittsburgh, Mr. Peduto. He said the community is far too strong to be knocked down. Quote, we know that hatred will never win out, that those who try to divide us because of the way that we pray or where our families are from around the world will lose, the mayor said Sunday. We will not try to rationalize irrational behavior. We will not try to figure out ways in order to lessen the degree of crime such as this. We will work to eradicate it. Aren't those noble words, Lou?
Well, they certainly sound noble.
Yes, but who didn't come? Who refused to come when Trump and Melania went with their the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and their daughter, Ivanka Trump? Who refused to come to honor those dead? Why, Mayor Peduto and Governor Wolf. Traitors, we have to allege that there's at least a lukewarm love of America. Don't you think you better go to the voting booth if you value your children's lives ahead and your grandchildren's lives, you can't stay home. You'd better do this. You'd better get to the midterm voting booth. Well, this article says that President Trump, who condemned the attack and the hatred behind it, suggested that armed guards at the synagogue could have thwarted the tragedy. Yes, that's common sense. You know, the more I think about Trump, I think he's kind of a brave heart for our times. And, you know, we've talked before about Lou having a lamp, an old gooseneck lamp that somebody at his school system was giving away because the person was going back to Harvard or somewhere on a grant. And Lou brought the ugly, twisting thing home. And I said, what do we ever do with that? When it came time to write my books, America, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, and Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, Lou could not see without the light of that gooseneck lamp, night after night, as he typed on the old word processor. Well, there are gooseneck lamps, I'm sure, here. Right here, Trump says that we could have had the guards in place. And as for me personally, when I mentioned Braveheart, right after my horrendous 18-month siege with the Lyme disease, in which I awoke overnight crippled and had to graduate to a walker, to a cane, to nothing. Right after that time, I think it was 1995, Lou said, I think we can go to the movie, and it was Braveheart. And I watched it, and I watched it, and I watched it, and it began to thrill my patriotic soul like nothing else ever had. You see, God was readying me in this small way. We're not Alex Jones. We don't have perhaps some bigger corporate help, whoever helps him, we don't know. But I think a lot of listeners do buy his products and help him. But we are completely independent. So, you know, whatever we say is after our analysis of things we see, we're trying to be watchmen for the Lord to bring you the truth. So at any rate, here we are with Peduto. Now, he refuted Trump about having those guards there. Why would he do that? Common sense tells you, of course, if you had guards in place who were armed, they would probably save the people's lives. Remember at the church in Texas, there was someone there who eliminated a lot of the massacre because he could get a gun right away and save some people. Well, this is what Peduto said. Mr. Peduto, a Democrat, rejected that approach, saying policymakers should focus on the weapons used instead of piecemeal measures to minimize the damage. You know, that's an almost transparent admission, isn't it, Lou, to being treasonous?
Oh, yes, it's also stupid, because it basically says that taking a gun away here and a gun away there is going to save everybody. Getting rid of the guns here and there, and that's all you're going to be able to do, from a few law-abiding citizens.
But he had bigger aspirations, Lou. His next part of this quote, and this was an article, again, from the Washington Times, he said, I think the approach we need to be looking at is how we take the guns. There's the key phrase, Lou. It's not just one here and there. We take the guns, which is the common denominator of every mass shooting in America, out of the hands of those who are looking to express hatred through murder, Mr. Peduto said. No, it's no accident that Time magazine had this big spread on the guns in America, even though, to their credit, they gave both sides. They truly did. But we remember how the magazines had printed up, the news magazines had printed up Hillary's win before the election results came in. We know that there is this unseen hand back of everything. So when we watched President Trump and his wife and his son-in-law and his daughter there reverently with the rabbi, and the rabbi had mixed feelings. He wanted Trump to come, then some liberals pressed on him, and then he didn't want them to come. And then he was standing with them, and apparently he was rather heroic. They said, except for some of his actions, more people would have been killed. And, you know, if you were really looking at this, not in an Orwellian sense, but just using your native common sense, you would ask, how can they accuse Trump of being an anti-Semite and a racist when his own grandchildren are Jewish. What about that, Lou?
Well, I can't imagine how they do it, except that there's political enemies, and they'll do anything they can to cut them down. They'll make any outlandish statements. They'll lie. They'll just exaggerate. And they'll tell complete and total bald-faced lies.
And how rational is that? Would you hate your own grandchildren's heritage?
Of course you would. Your beloved grandchildren would be about the closest thing to you, short of your wife and your own children. Who would ever hate their own grandchildren?
Well, if Satan had any, he would hate his. I'm sure he's at work with all of this. And the article went on to talk about some of these accomplished members of the community. Dr. Rabinowitz was a trusted physician with a genuine sense of humor. Ms. Thienberg spent much of her career as a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh's Learning, Research, and Development Center. And the Simons were married at the Tree of Life and Synagogue, Life Synagogue, December 1956. The Pittsburgh Steelers held a moment of silence before their home game at Heinz Field against the Cleveland Browns, and Mr. Trump ordered American flags to be flown at half-staff through Wednesday as the nation mourns the victims. This evil anti-Semitic attack is an assault on humanity, he tweeted. It will take all of us working together to extract the poison of anti-Semitism from our world. We must unite to conquer hate. And we know that these words that Trump said have an unspoken underlying meaning for those of us who are awake, those of us who listened to the watchmen of yesteryear, like Dr. Stan Monteith, like Joan Vian, who told us about globalism, like Jack McClam. Yes, these patriots were there early on, and they were telling us that something was a Trojan horse, something was coming. And now, there's a stunning part at the end of this Washington Times article about Mr. Bowers. He reputedly spewed out hateful messages online that targeted immigrants and Jews, singling out Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society for helping refugees settle in America. And there again, if he were being honest, the Roman Catholic Church is bringing them in. Some other Protestant churches are bringing them in. This research we presented earlier on our program. And he posted, "I can't sit by and watch my people get slaughtered. Screw your optics. I'm going in," he posted. Authorities said there was no indication that Mr. Bowers worked with accomplices, though they were still investigating. Mr. Jones said it appeared that Mr. Bowers had finished shooting and was exiting the synagogue when police confronted him. And here is the bombshell. You know, Luke came in. He was kind of tired the other night. And he said, "I just got two articles." And I said, "Well," and I just kind of looked at it. And I thought, "Isn't that impressive?" But I said, some of these things are like gooseneck lamps. The Lord is in all of this. He wants to help us keep our country. Do you not know that? Will you not go vote? Because here, the last sentence of this article, it was the bombshell. It was the gooseneck lamp. This is what Bauer said. "We don't know of any plans to conduct additional shootings." Now, this may not be Bauer's words. It may be Mr. Jones. Whoever said it is like the Illuminati telling us with the lone gunman. "We don't know of any plans to conduct additional shootings." What in the world did that mean? Who is the we? Someone speculated there might be another shooting with these caravans of migrants coming. I hope to God there won't be. But if the NWO is brazen enough and stupid enough to do one more, people are going to start laughing. Isn't that right?
Yes, I think a great many people put so little trust in the government now, after all the tall tales we've been told. Each of these is an individual shooter, no connection to anybody. The only one they ever admitted to was the Oklahoma City, and that, of course, was just two patsies.
But you see, underneath all of this is a horrible threat. If we go to full-scale tyranny, Ben Stein said something
what he said about the Mitch McConnell restaurant hecklers. He said this was exactly how the Nazis started out. And this was the Washington Times Monday, October 22nd. And he said that these people are becoming like the brown shirts in the early days of the Nazi Party. And you can bet that we're not home free yet. When we think about this, McConnell and his wife, Elaine Chao, were confronted at the Havana Rumba restaurant by two hecklers who reportedly stole the couple's leftover food off their table and threw it outside. It was one of many similar incidents involving Republican politicians being heckled in public in recent months. Mr. McConnell was recently heckled by protesters at Reagan National Airport near Washington. Mr. Stein said Antifa is becoming like the brown shirts in the early days of the Nazi Party. Very, very disgusting, shocking behavior, stunningly horrible. I consider it violent to go to somebody while he's having a meal and take the meal away from him and throw it away. I consider that as close to violence as I want to get. I am a big student of World War II and the rise of the Nazi Party, and this is exactly how the Nazis started out. But we had October 30th, Paul Joseph Watson reporting on InfoWars that these shots, were being fired into Republican headquarters. I think maybe it was Venusia County, Florida. Anyway, these attacks were hardly mentioned by the MSM. If you find this information to be valuable, please tell your friends to listen to our program on WWCR, WWCR.com. Click on Transmitter 3, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. Also on 4.840 megahertz shortwave. And they can be listening also on Saturdays on 7.490 megahertz on WWCR at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. This is your life you're going to save. This is your children's lives, your grandchildren. Does it not mean something? Lou and I have struggled a long time to stay on air. We're a small voice, but we are a Christian voice, and that makes us a little different. We're glad now that we are independent, because we're not going to be a big program that has a co-host, a guest host on extolling Halloween, for example. Why do we want to increase the powers of darkness, their hold on this country? The judgment has already begun, but God Almighty has given us a brave heart and a lovely wife, a wife who actually was a legal immigrant at one time. Shouldn't that be an example to look up to? I think so. And so when we look at all these connections, we have to see this Islamic connection is still there, going strong in Europe. What's the headline, Lou?
This headline, dated October 28th, 8 Muslims gang raped teen girl in Germany. Freiburg, Germany. An 18-year-old girl was raped outside a disco in Germany by 8 men, including 7 Syrians. Germany's Bild newspaper reported the woman was celebrating with a friend in Freiburg on October 14th when an unknown man gave her a drink. At about midnight, the teen went to the door with the man. The report said she was pulled into bushes and raped by a 22-year-old from Syria who is said to have been in Germany since 2014. The paper said the man left his victim in the bushes and told his friends who had been in the disco about the defenseless girl. At least 7 other men then sexually abused the 18-year-old, the magazine or newspaper Bild reported. All 8 suspects are in custody, according to the newspaper, and an investigation is underway. Quote, "Why does this keep happening?" asked Jihad Watch director Robert Spencer, who has monitored similar attacks. He cited the survivor of a Muslim rape gang in the U.K., who said her rapist quoted the Quran to her, believing their actions were justified by Islam. Spencer noted the Quran, quote, teaches that infidel women can be lawfully taken for sexual use, unquote. Several passages allow for a man to take, quote, captives of the right hand, unquote. From the Quran, 4:3, 4:24, 23:1-6, and it gives some other passages.
The Quran says, quote, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to bring down over themselves of their outer garments. That is more suitable, that they will be known and not be abused. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Unquote. Spencer commented, the implication there is that if women do not cover themselves adequately with their outer garments, they may be abused, and that such abuse would be justified. Unquote. Last month, in the latest trial in England of the widespread problem of Muslim, quote-unquote, grooming gangs, a woman testified via video that she was passed around, that's in quotes, passed around, beginning at age 13 by about 100 men. The British government's senior legal advisor charged last year that judges were giving lightest sentences to Muslims convicted of raping young girls because of, quote, political correctness, unquote. At the time, the city of Newcastle upon Tyne was the center of a child sexual abuse scandal, with 17 Muslim men and one woman convicted of raping more than 100 underage white girls, some as young as 13. In June, as WorldNet Daily reported, the arrest of an Iraqi immigrant and the murder of a 14-year-old Jewish girl in Germany stoked criticism of Chancellor Angela Merkel's immigration policy, including a call from an opposition party for her to resign. The Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung said such case, quote, seems to be adding up, unquote. In March, BBC News quoted, noted, an Afghan asylum seeker was sentenced to life imprisonment for the rape, murder, and murder of student Maria Leidenberger. And last December, an Afghan migrant was arrested on suspicion of stabbing his 15-year-old ex-girlfriend to death. I think maybe the Germans are beginning to get some sense.
Well, Angela Merkel's party is out of power. We don't know when she will resign, whether she will step down. We want to keep our freedoms here. When we looked at the Khashoggi case, how terrible this is. When there is a police state, I believe finally the Saudis have admitted that his death occurred in that embassy, in the headquarters, the Saudi headquarters. And the sad story of Bing Bing, we don't know yet what has happened to her, and you could keep her in prayer. Keep your own children in prayer, because the New World Order, their pharmaceutical, medical, sinister population reduction plan may be at work again, allegedly. CDC, mystery disease, sickening kids in 22 states, including New Jersey. This was October 17th, and it's filed under acute flaccid myelitis. Local TV, New Jersey. So this mystery illness, we'll get into this more at another time. In 22 states, they've confirmed this. And it began with an asthma attack in one case. Then she lost function in her right arm. My husband just noticed her arm was just kind of hanging there. And then there was a 3-year-old who couldn't support his head. His right arm function went away, and he couldn't stand up. This is really hideous. Doctors say that most serious cases can lead to respiratory failure. So the CDC says there are 62 cases in 22 states. Mystery disease. We actually don't know what's causing this increase, says Dr. Nancy Messonnier of the CDC. We don't know. We don't know so many things. We'd better turn to the Lord and read the Bible. And we'd better do what is prudent to try to save our hide. Good night.